Nobel Peace Prize winner the Dalai Lama has added a more unusual award to his collection, a Grammy for the best spoken word book recording. It's another example of how religion and popular culture are deeply enmeshed. The US-based Faith and Media Initiative finds that audiences, including those with no religious belief, love religious themes on the big and small screen. Professor Anna Halifoff of Deakin University specializes in faith and popular culture.
The Dalai Lama is an internationally recognized expert, and Buddhism, I think, has broad popular appeal. And I think Buddhism also, since its kind of real popularity kind of boom in the 90s, has also always had quite a strong connection, Tibetan Buddhism and the Dalai Lama, with celebrities. So you think about people like Richard Gere, like there's some good marketing in here too, wanting to spread the teachings as widely as possible through combining that with some popular culture.
Yeah, there's no doubt the Dalai Lama is a beloved figure. He's actually a very serious man too. I've interviewed him for more than an hour. And he's very serious in his appeals for world peace and reconciliation. Does winning the Grammy in reality do anything to win converts to Buddhism or the cause of Tibet, by the way? I mean, I noticed the Chinese government was rather ticked off that he won the Grammy Award.
Winning the Grammy gives legitimacy to the Dalai Lama and thereby also to the Tibet movement and the Tibetan cause to be recognized and to be respected, and for the human rights of Tibetans to be respected. And so that is threatening.
Anna, there's some fascinating new research out of the US, the Faith and Media Initiative. It looks at the depiction of religion in movies and television. Broadly speaking, what does that research find?
It's really interesting because it's showing the salience of religious themes to a contemporary audience that is diverse religiously. And not just diverse religiously, but also spiritually. They ask people to identify whether they were religious or spiritual or a person of faith. And in their whole sample, they get around, 78% of people say that they identify as being spiritual, religious, or a person of faith, and only around 22% that say they are none of these things.
I mean, the other really fascinating thing about this study is that viewers of movies and television who were atheists or agnostics were far more captivated and, I'm not going to say converted, but certainly persuaded, drawn in by religious narratives on film and TV. I found that extraordinary.
Yeah, it is really interesting.
Why?
Well, I would guess that, or posit, that it is related to something that we call contact theory. If you are a strongly non-religious person, then in your everyday life, you might not have that much contact with religion or with spirituality. And so then through the consumption of this type of media, then you might get a deeper understanding of it. So I don't read in the data that it leads to any sort of conversion experience, but that people who are not religious and then watch this type of media become more open to seeing this type of content through experiencing it and learning something from it, perhaps even.
There's a long history of the depiction of religion and religious figures in movies. I mean, whether it's Julie Andrews as Maria von Trapp, the novice nun in The Sound of Music who softens the heart of a grieving widower, or perhaps more recently a show that a lot of people who listen to this program might have watched, which was The West Wing. Jeb Bartlett, who was the Liberal Democratic president in The West Wing, he was a very religious figure, wasn't he?
I would completely agree with you that, you know, Hollywood and more recently television has long had an interest in depicting religious narratives and also religious characters. The research is showing that there has been kind of like a boom in this type of particularly Christian TV and media. You see that in shows like The Chosen. You see that in the Netflix drama about Mary. Some of this is also funded by, there's, you know, Angel Studios that is Latter-day Saints. In America, because there has been more of a sort of increase of interest in Christianity, we are seeing this reflected in Hollywood.
Yeah, I wonder though how successful that is compared to the more subtle depictions, because they seem to be quite endearing. I mean, I know you weren't a close viewer, maybe not as obsessive as me, of The West Wing, but I can recall a very affecting scene in The West Wing where Jed Bartlett is struggling with his conscience over the death penalty, and he invites his priest, and the priest is a reliably kindly, very gentle man who then says, well, Jed, maybe you need to take confession. And he kneels in the Oval Office and takes confession from his priest. I mean, these are very sort of gentle scenes that are quietly persuasive. I get the impression, though, that more tub-thumping depictions of religion may be off-putting.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the major study that we started talking about, yeah, they literally do find that the types of shows that they're quoting people of faith and also non-faith having kind of positive engagement with are shows such as The West Wing, Nobody Wants This, which I have watched, the movie Selma, other shows such as Hacksaw Ridge. It is that more everyday religion that people are engaging with. And I think that also kind of makes sense because despite these predictions of secularization and that religion would completely disappear from public life, what we are seeing from the turn of the 21st century is there is a kind of increase of religion in public life and in politics. It's not just always conservative religion. The other thing we're really seeing in increase of interest in and increase of depiction of is spirituality. Many people around the world and even in Western societies are still religious and or spiritual. And so religious diversity, religious questions, religious ideas, spiritual themes, even supernatural themes, particularly for teenagers, they're very much part of everyone's day-to-day reality. So people like seeing them depicted also in media.
And of course, I think the films that were very popular about 15, 20 years ago based on the Tolkien novels, I mean, they were deep religious allegories of Christianity. I mean, Tolkien being a very Christian writer, they must have influenced a generation, I imagine.
Absolutely. And even if we think before then, like I'm typically Gen X, Star Wars. And Star Wars, the character of Yoda is said to be also referencing like Buddhist yogi kind of masters. Those big epic battles between good and evil, they obviously evoke religious narratives and themes. And also these kind of moral dilemmas, you know, again, people often look towards religion or spirituality for those kinds of frameworks of how to be a better person or how to create a better world.
All this leads to the obvious question, Anna. Has Hollywood, in that broadest sense, become the new missionary? Is Hollywood the place that's bringing the converts or softening the hearts?
Well, I think it's a great question because the thing is, like, film and media and television, it's a bit like it's similar to education. Like, they are often part of nation building projects. And in more authoritarian regimes, there can be absolute propaganda in terms of pushing a particular narrative about national identity. I don't know how much Hollywood is becoming that. I think Hollywood's probably kind of always been that. There's also internal diversity within Hollywood around what is that narrative? You know, is the narrative diversity, like something like the show Nobody Wants This, that is really grappling with interreligious marriage or marriage between a Jewish person and a non-religious person, something like White Lotus, which is like full of spiritual themes and Buddhism, or something that is more literally messianic and has a really strong conservative Christian narrative. And there's also a bit of an attraction to some of these more conservative narratives and Christianity, like in terms of family values and things that people watch together across generations.
Yeah. On White Lotus, Anna, you and a colleague wrote a very interesting analysis of it. I've got to say, from my viewing of White Lotus, that was a kind of more cynical take on religion as quote-unquote spirituality and wellness. Was that just me, or was there a dark side to the way it was depicted?
I think there definitely was a dark side and a humour. So there might be something that's kind of quite sincerely engaging with spiritual values at the same time as it's quite critical of commercialization of spirituality or of more kind of negative abuse of power within spirituality. And I think narratives can be quite complex and have both of those things going on at the same time, which I think that The White Lotus did. The inclusion at the end, and we talk about it in our article of the books, Pema Chodron books, Start Where You Are, one of the young male characters begins reading. They're really well-respected, serious Buddhist texts. The inclusion of them there in the final scenes like offers this bit of hope and actually a bit of depth within a story that also is very critical of contemporary wellness and the marketization of wellness and spirituality, for sure.
My thought, though, about the interaction between religion / spirituality / wellness and wealth, as it were, in the White Lotus series, because the White Lotus is built around this premise of very privileged, wealthy people going to tourist destinations that are usually staffed by people who are, if not poor, then certainly the working class of those communities. And the wellness industry helps those wealthy people just feel a bit more positive about themselves without asking too much real change.
Yeah, and I think this has been definitely critique of contemporary spirituality and wellness for some time. There's the famous book Selling Spirituality by Corrett and King and many other studies that focus on those kind of more darker sides of wellness and spirituality. And it is really interesting because we are seeing some of these more concerning things about spirituality and abuse of power and things like conspirituality, fusion of spirituality and conspiracy theories. But we're also seeing that maybe it's a lot less elite now than what it used to be. Spirituality is really mainstream now. Even in the so-called elite spaces, there also does seem to be quite a lot of sincerity, like a lot of people who are running businesses that are really successful spiritual businesses. Many of them have had kind of personal crises or crises of health or faith within their families. And yeah, they've kind of turned their whole life around and really seem to be genuinely trying to be better people and to create a better world.
Anna Halifoff of Deakin University.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.